The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Wednesday, July the 8th, and we are rolling through our defensive rankings. We covered the offensive rankings last week. You can still go back and listen to those. They are evergreen, like a lot of our offseason content. We also have an all 32, list. We cover every single NFL team. Maybe the only ones that aren't worth, rehashing would be the Patriots and the Chiefs, because we didn't talk about Patrick Mahomes' contract or Cam Newton signing with New England, but we have emergency podcasts for those of you who will listen to them. We said goodbye to Sean Wagner McGuff with a mailbag show on Monday, which you can listen to in the feed as well. And reminder that we will continue to do mailbags every Monday throughout the off season. If you want to have a question answered, go to Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star review and we will answer anything you want to ask us. What law school we would want to attend if we were leaving the profession to do that. I would probably say Wake Forest for me if you were curious, but probably aren't. Parenting questions for John Breach, whatever it is. Let's get to the defensive back rankings with a guy who played the position, the one, the only, Brian McFadden. B-Mac, what's up?
What's up, Will? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Patrick Mahomes, by the way, $500 million.
I'm excited for Pat Mahomes. I'm excited for, I guess, you know, the NFL, you know, making this a reality, because I never thought I would see the day in my lifetime that an NFL contract would trump any other professional sport contract, right? That's amazing.
I mean, he made more than Mike Trout, which is insane, because professional football players, as you well know, unfortunately, don't have fully guaranteed contracts and typically get shafted in the contract realm relative to baseball and basketball players, and not the case of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and think about this. Pat Mahomes' entire contract, granted, if he fulfilled everything when it comes to the years and numbers, incentives, would be over $500 million, right?
Is that roughly what you made in your career?
I wish. Hey, if I made that much, we'd be doing this podcast on a yacht somewhere.
B-Mac, if either of us made that much, we wouldn't be doing this podcast. I'd just be on a yacht, not podcasting.
Yo, Will, we love sports so much, especially football. We would be probably doing a podcast.
That's true. From a yacht, which would, you know, I think podcasting from a yacht, like your vibe would be very, very relaxed. We'd be sitting on the top of a yacht with like a microphone, casually talking.
Yeah. Wow, you probably have an alcoholic beverage and I have a bottle of water.
I would have a mimosa. That is correct. A mimosa and a lobster tail.
I would definitely have a lobster tail with you.
Yeah, I might go.
But check this out real quick before we get into the show. Something I just saw, the Amazon CEO, he makes $500 million every 36 hours.
That's pretty insane. That's 12 years of Patrick Mahomes' working as the best quarterback in professional football, and Jeff Bezos makes that every day and a half.
Yeah. Every 36 hours is what I saw.
He might have too much money.
I think so.
At the rate my wife orders Amazon packages, I'm pretty sure like 50 million of that is coming from here.
I mean, we all pay his salary.
Yeah. It's insane.
We all pay his salary. It's okay though, I guess.
Make him the president next time around. He's got enough money. Go put some business sense in America. Anyway, let's move on. That's a great stat there, by the way. Fun fact. Let's go on to the cornerback rankings, and we'll get to the safeties after the break. Of course, you played cornerback in the NFL. Who was the toughest to leave? Cause it's not easy. Like you're putting it out there. Your name's on the list. this list. Who's the toughest to leave off for you?
Wow, I had a few guys, a few young guys that I really like. Denzel Ward was a name that was tough for me to leave off. Byron Jones was another name that was tough for me to leave off. Xavier Howard was another name. Jair Alexander.
Yeah.
I really like his game. I think he is definitely heading in that top 10 direction. So those were some of the noteworthy names that were, that were left off my list. And I think for me, when I look at cornerback play, Will, and listeners, I like to see three skill sets. Number one, your coverage, your ability to cover, press, man to man, zone. You're very, very impactful in deep, in doing either or, right? And then number two, tackling. Yeah. You know, being involved, not necessarily in run support, but you're not a liability when it comes to that element. When it comes to that element of your game. And then the third thing that I look for is creating possessions for your offense. Right. And that can either come with pass breakups on third down, you know, forcing turnovers via interceptions, fumbles or recovering fumbles, but you're always around the football to some degree. And interceptions are just like sacks. They will provide an opportunity for your offense to get extra possessions. So those are the three criteria. Those are the three things that I look for. That's my criteria. When you look at cornerback play, you know, coverage, being consistent in your coverage, man, zone, tackling, and creating possessions for your offense.
So you want to, you love a ball hawk, but you also want a well-rounded guy who can stop the run, can limit, you know, the big plays, and who can also be versatile in terms of, does it matter to you, whether guys can play outside, nickel, both? I mean, does that affect you, or do you sort of separate?
I mean, if you can do both extremely well, that's definitely a plus. But the majority of my guys that's on this list, basically are outside guys. Right. You have a few guys that can move around inside and a few guys that are following the opposing team's top pass catcher. You know, they might line them up in the slot. So that will require the defender to line up in the slot as well.
Chris Harris, I don't think made the list, right?
Chris Harris didn't make the list.
He had a down year last year.
And Chris Harris was another name that was difficult to leave off as well for me.
Sure. All right, let's get to it. The bottom five on this list, we'll start with that. Casey Hayward at 10, Richard Sherman at 9, Darius Slay 8, Marshawn Lattimore 7, Marcus Peters 6. Peters, has been on the show. Richard Sherman is too, by the way. A huge ball hawk in Peters. A little surprised to see Richard Sherman that low, but I like that you had Darius Slay on this list. I don't think he made Patrick Walker's top 10 defensive back list for the site.
Yeah, and I don't think Richard Sherman made Pat's list as well.
What? Really?
There were a few names that didn't make his list. I don't think Marshawn Lattimore made his list. Marlon Humphrey didn't make his list. There were quite a few names as you go through my entire list that didn't make Pat's list as well.
I'm looking up the list now to see if Richard Sherman just has to be on the list.
Yeah. I mean, for me, and I had to have him in my top 10 because he played so well. He was terrific last year. And in totality, there are only two forgettable plays that's associated with Richard Sherman from a year ago. The Green Bay Packer playoff catch he gave up to Devontae Adams. Granted, the game was out of reach, but you know, he got beat deep on that one. And then Sammy Watkins in the Super Bowl. Outside of that, right, Richard Sherman was on his A game. And yeah, he's getting up there in age. But the thing that I love about Richard Sherman, why he's on my list, is two things, right? Speed has never been one of his strongest attributes in his game, right? Yeah. He's always been a cerebral corner, very, very instinctive, being able to study, to put himself in positions to be successful. We saw that last year. So yeah, people may say, well, he's declining when it comes to the athleticism or the speed. That's never been his specialty.
Right.
But when you combine his instincts, the mental game, with that defense, with that pass rush, yes, I think he's going to have another good year, similar to what he did last year.
Two things on Sherman. One, I would say the like Yeah, speed's not his thing. In fact, he struggles if he's forced to match up against like really smaller shift. Like, you don't want Richard Sherman covering Tyreek Hill for a full game. I mean, nobody can cover Tyreek Hill, but you know, the point being is like a smaller, shifty wide receiver. Like, Sherman's not, you know, you don't want anybody to match up against Julio Jones or Mike Evans, but Sherman is your guy. You know, like a bigger, stronger physical receiver. He's so physical, especially at the point of catch. And the other thing too is like people blasted him for the contract he signed with the 49ers. It's obviously he threw it back in their face pretty big time. But the other thing that I think sort of flew under the radar was that Sherman, when he signed with San Francisco, he went from, you know, the Legion of Boom cover three scheme. And he stayed with that because Robert Saleh came from that same system. Like, that was a pretty smart move by him to stick in a system that he fundamentally operates well in and understands, right?
Oh, no question. I mean, everything worked ideally for Sherman based on what he was used to in Seattle. They basically recreated that same format defensively with how about their business in rushing the quarterback. And that's why, you know, I had to have him in my top 10 because I don't see that defense slowing down anytime soon. Yes, they lost what DeForest Buckner to the Colts, but you drafted Javon Kinlaw. You still have Armstead. You still have D Ford. You still have Bosa. I mean, healthy on all three levels, that defense will be another top three, top four, like defense in National Football League. And you better believe Richard Sherman will be doing some damage in the back end because that pass rush will put him in position to be successful.
Yeah. I'm very surprised that he wasn't on the top 10 list for Patrick Walker, but you know what? It's to each his own on the list. Slay, how do you see Darius Slay performing now that he gets his change of scenery? Clearly unhappy in Detroit and now gets to go to Philadelphia where they badly need defensive back help.
Yes, they've been searching for defensive back help for some years now, right? Yeah. But I really like this spot for Slay because, number one, he goes to a competitive type of organization. The Detroit Lions, for such a long time, they've just been, at best case scenario, a middle tier like team.
That's right? That's being generous.
And I'm being generous. You know what I mean? So a lot of the good things that Slay has been doing has kind of been going unnoticed because the team has been going unnoticed because they haven't been competitive. But one thing I like about Slay, he's a number one corner. Looking at some of his numbers from a year ago, listeners, going against noteworthy number one pass catchers that he faced. Amari Cooper, 3 receptions for 38 yards. Terry McLaurin, who had a real good year for Washington last year, 4 receptions for 41. Cortland Sutton, who I love as a receiver. I think he's going to have a huge year for the Broncos.
Yeah.
4 receptions for 28 yards. Davante Adams, 4 receptions for 63 yards. Allen Robinson, 4 receptions for 41 yards. And that was the only touchdown he surrendered against those type of wide receivers, man-to-man following matchups was that one touchdown to Allen Robinson. So you put him in that defensive philosophy there in Philadelphia, and they have some pretty nice pieces when you look at rushing the passer as well. I think he's going to have another Darius Slay-like season, like year, but people will be talking about him because we will see it. We're going to pay more attention to what he's doing based on the organization he's going to be with. And because of that, he's in my top 10 based on what he's done in years past. Last year, played pretty good football, but also being able to go to Philadelphia, I think will help his stats and, of course, his production.
So Marshawn Lattimore, I believe, tweeted about Patrick Walker's list. He was 10th on Patrick's list. He did not tweet happily about it. Would he be happy to see himself at number 7, or do you think he thinks he should be higher than that?
I mean, if you're competitive, no question. If you're not 1, 2, or 3, you probably think you should be higher. And I'm okay with that. I have Lattimore.
I want to ask you about that because Ryan Wilson and I were talking about this yesterday. So like when you were playing, this is something only like a dumb, short, unathletic podcast host would ask. But like when you were playing, did you believe that you were the best cornerback in football?
No, because I played with Darrell Revis.
Right. Well, that's a great point. I asked that because do you remember when Dee Milner, after he was drafted by the Jets, he was asked before the season when they were like, who's the best cornerback in football? He's like, I am. And it was like, no, you're not. Like, you have to know that you're not, right? Like, you have to know that.
You have to be realistic, but the thing about these guys that I have on my list, they all can make a case for they should be in the top three.
Okay.
That's you know
fair.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And it might, some people might say that could be a bit far fetched, but I think the majority will be like, I could see that. You know, you make some key points here and there. But for your example with D. Milliner, you hadn't played yet.
Right. The thing, it was interesting too, because, and I think that, like, Stephon Gilmore, and we'll get to him in a minute, but he might have taken the role, but for so long, like when you were playing, I think probably your entire career, because I was drafted
in 05, so I came into the league. Yeah. Champ Bailey still was playing.
But there was a number one, there was always like the best corner, like whether it was Champ and then Revis, like there was just a guy who was like clearly like the title belt holder.
Woodson. So when I came into the league, man, you had some established guys, and I'm before Revis, but Revis came in and, you know, dominated, especially I think 2008, 2009 season. But Champ Bailey was still playing top tier football. Charles Woodson, and of course, when he went to Green Bay, he just went to a whole nother level.
Debo's trying to get me to talk about Asante Samuel.
It's Asante Samuels. Shout out to Broward County.
You know, who is he trash talking? Daryl Green.
Daryl Green.
Come on, Asante.
Yeah.
By the way, Asante, his Twitter handle @pick6_22 or something like that. So I guess we should have him on the podcast to talk about pick sixes, just cause, you know, whatever.
Let's get him on.
Speaking of pick sixes, nobody does them like Marcus Peters, man.
No question. And I have Peters 6 on my list. The thing that I love about Peters, like you said, he's probably one of the best ball hawking corners in the National Football League. When he's dialed in, right? When he's dialed in, he can go. But sometimes we've seen Peters not be as dialed in. But I think with Baltimore, with the expectations they have, especially on the defensive side, right? And the structure they have in place, I think they will get the best Marcus Peters that he has to offer. Now, the issue that I have with Peters not being as high, because Peters is a top four, top three, like ball hawking guy, but tackling.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And you remember the three things that I'm looking for is coverage, consistency in coverage, right? Being able to provide extra possessions for your offense, turnovers or PBUs, and then tackling. That is the one area of concern that I have with Peters. And the thing is, sometimes he doesn't go about tackling like he goes about coverage. Because I've seen him tackle. Because the thing about Peters, he's like Charles Peanut Tillman. I mean, he attacks the football. But every time you can't attack the football, and there lies an opportunity to have missed tackles.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you did a perfect job of describing it. Like, no one wants to say that he's, you're not trying to say like he's not mentally checked in all the time, but he's just a guy who's like, you remember the old criticism of the Randy Moss where it was like, Randy Moss only runs the route when he knows the pass is cut. Like when Marcus Peters knows that ball is coming near him, he's going to attack like crazy, but like he's just a guy who like, he's not a consistent, his motor doesn't run consistently. Like you know what I'm saying? Like he's aggressive. That's just how you are if you're that aggressive. Like you're just going to attack aggressively when you know a pass play is coming, like a 3rd and 15 or something like that, versus maybe a 1st and 10 and he's sort of eased back and he knows he's not going to have to be covering somebody. Does that make sense the way I'm describing it?
Yeah. But I'm hyped about Peters and the Baltimore Ravens uniform because that's the team that has championship aspirations.
Yeah. 3 picks in 10 games. And look, when he came over, that defense flipped. Like it went from being a question to being like a top tier defense. All right. Your top five. Marlon Humphrey, also of the Ravens.
Man. Yes, sir. I love Marlon Humphrey's game, man. His Humphrey game, 15 games, 60 plus tackles, 14 PBUs, 3 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles. And he's a guy that you talked about earlier, you know, when we got the show going about being able to play the nickel or the outside corner. He does both. Last year, he was the nickelback for Baltimore. He excelled in that position. I just love – he's a football player. They have 2 bookend corners, Baltimore, that is, with Peters and Humphrey, and they complement each other nicely. And he's in my top 5. He didn't even make Patrick's top 10, but I have him as my 5th-best corner.
Okay. And at number 4, your pal.
Pat P.
Pat P.
The senior of the group. You know, it's kind of funny to say that, but, you know, Pat is basically the senior of this group, him and Richard Sherman. But Pat P, man, I think he's going to have a huge year. You know, we've already been talking together about expectations for this season, and he's shooting for the stars. You know, he kind of got, he was behind the eight ball a little bit last year, you know, because of the suspension, and then it kind of got some time. It took some time for him to get into rhythm. But he showed flashes of the top tier player that he is. And I think this season, especially with some of the new pieces, I think he's going to excel once again. My only concern with Pat is not necessarily who he is as a player, as an individual. Some of the new pieces they have on the defense. And whenever you add so many different faces, it takes some time for everything to gel the right way. I mean, there's a good chance they could have maybe three or four new starters on that defense. Now, they needed a lot of help, but I think being able to get those new pieces in place, and especially with this abnormal off-season program, no OTAs, no mini camps, and not knowing exactly how a training camp will unfold, that might hurt the chemistry with the defense. But I think Pat P, man, he's going to have a huge year this year.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Pat P is that he, for so long, was the best man coverage corner in the NFL, like just straight up man coverage, like post Revis anyway, because he came around in 2011 when he was drafted by Arizona, and he had a monster rookie year and played really well. It feels like we sort of forgotten about him a little bit, just generally speaking. Maybe it's because he plays in Arizona. Maybe it's because of the suspension. Maybe it's because in 2018, when he had a good year, but, you know, he was used incorrectly in the opinion of many, and probably in the opinion of Patrick Peterson, in Steve Wilkes' scheme. And so now I would assume that they're going to try and stick with having him trail the best receiver on each team, right?
Yeah, and that's what he looked forward to doing. You know, that's who he is. He wants that challenge every snap, you know, every game. He's looking for the opposing team best wide receivers, and he's one of the best man-to-man corners in the game.
Tre'Davious White at number three, put some respect on his name. He was number seven on Patrick Walker's list. And that's my biggest beef. Tre'Davious White's a stud.
He's a stud. I mean, for me, Trey White could be two or three. Either position I'm okay with. I have him third on my list, and we'll talk about who the number two guy is, and I'll tell you why that number two guy is number two. But Trey White had a breakout year last year, 6 interceptions, 7 PBUs, man. And I'm really excited about Trey White this season because you add Josh Norman with something to prove. He has a chip on his shoulder.
In a scheme that he knows, too.
Yeah, and they added some pieces to the defensive line. I think their two deep defensive line is probably one of the best two deep lines in the National Football League on the defensive side. But yeah, Trey White has exceeded the expectations that Buffalo had for him. I think as a fan, he's exceeded the expectations, and I don't see him slowing down anytime soon, especially if he's healthy. And the thing I love about Trey White outside of the known, which is creating turnovers, he's a great man corner. He's a great zone. He does both extremely well.
You know, the interesting thing about Trey White is that, and since Patrick Mahomes just got paid, it's worth noting that the Bills
they gave Kansas City that pick.
That's right. But they traded down to 27 from 10. The Bills, and they took Trey White, who is not Patrick Mahomes, but like Trey White at 27 was a really, really, really good pick, and just another stud defensive back at LSU. They crank him out left and right. You know, and you look at that, this draft too. Marshawn Lattimore 11, Marlon Humphrey 16. I mean, Trey White at 27. I mean, that's one of the better picks of the first round to get him when you factor in the value and like where you got him, et cetera, et cetera.
And I got three of those guys from the same draft in my top 10.
That's right. Yeah. Really good cornerback draft. Number two, guy who did not fall to 27, Jalen Ramsey on his second team after being traded by the Jaguars to the Rams so a few years ago, top five pick, due for a contract extension. And we teased it, so we're going to mention it. Stephon Gilmore, number one. But what made you put Ramsey over Tre'Davious White, and do you think Ramsey is primed for a huge bounce-back season?
The reason why I put Ramsey over Trey White, now granted, it was a very, very peculiar year for him because he was disgruntled. He basically forced his way out of Jacksonville, got traded to a new system. It kind of took some time for him to understand what they were doing because he's an ultimate man corner. But just from the individual, right, in totality, when you look at both players' body of work, with the expectations coming into this season with both players being healthy. Jalen Ramsey has established a real nice resume so far in his career. I mean, if you're telling me you don't know exactly what you're going to do defensively, you don't know who you're going to have on the defensive side, but I need me a corner that can follow whoever it is and go war-to-war, toe-to-toe with that player, snap in and snap out, I'm taking Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey has battled against DeAndre Hopkins throughout his career. And D-Hop would tell you the respect he has for Jalen. Remember that matchup, 2 years ago in Jacksonville against Antonio Brown? I'd never seen a corner handle Antonio Brown the way Jalen did in Jacksonville that Sunday afternoon, right? What he did against Tyreek Hill, I think it was last year before he got suspended. I think that's when Kansas City played Jacksonville before Jalen got suspended in Jacksonville in Arrowhead. I mean, seeing how patient he was at the line of scrimmage, and then you talk about Tyreek, admitting Tyreek Hill, T.Y. Hilton, played against Julio last year. I mean, this is a guy that always stands up to the test. And then the deciding factor for me between Trey White and Jalen Ramsey, tackling. Jalen Ramsey can tackle. He can, and I'm not saying Trey White can't tackle. I just think Jalen does it better.
Ramsey, and again, I would sort of liken it a little bit to Patrick Peterson in the sense that because Jalen Ramsey, you know, you had 2018 where he had that huge all-pro season in 2017. And then he did all the features, you know, GQ, ESPN, the Mag with Mina Kimes, all, you know, the full car wash of the features that always, like Baker did it last year, and it always gets you in trouble. He does all that and then comes in and he's not happy with the team and the Jaguars stink in 2018. And so they all sort of struggle. And then he gets traded in the middle of the season, which last year, but it feels like forever ago. I mean, this dude is not even 26 years old and he's put together one of the better cornerback seasons we've seen in the last 5 years. Like he really has the potential to step forward to be a defensive player of the year. And he could unseat Stephon Gilmore first overall if he puts it all together this year, right?
I mean, he has the talent to do so. Now, the difference between Jalen and Gilmore, the situation is that Gilmore, the structure that they have in New England.
Yeah.
Number one, you're playing for Bill Belichick, one of the best defensive masterminds in all of in the entire league. Then you have pieces that understand what they're supposed to do. Stephon Gilmore did not look like the Gilmore we're seeing when he was in a Buffalo Bills uniform.
No.
Right? The structure was not the same. Now, talent was always there, but talent without structure leads you nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? Now we're starting to see that talent combined with quality structure, he's taken off. You know what I mean? He's going to a whole nother planet. For me, that is the most important thing I'm concerned with Jalen, being able to provide the structure. Everybody on the defensive side knowing exactly what they're supposed to do and doing it. Do your job. We hear that all the time associated with the New England Patriots. But outside of when I look at my top 10, outside of just pure, when it comes to pure talent and athleticism, Jalen Ramsey is probably the second best athlete on my list behind Pat Peterson.
Mm. So Gilmore, the thing with him, and I think you're spot on, D-Mac, is like, because he's being utilized by Bill Belichick, it's like he's like, you know, like Bill Belichick is going to put you in the position where you could succeed. He's not going to force you out there and just make you do whatever. And like when Bill Belichick goes out and spends a bunch of money in free agency on somebody, that probably means that they're a pretty good player. And you look at like his performance in Buffalo. I mean, you know, he had 5 years there and they weren't underwhelming. He was a very good player, but they didn't know how to utilize him correctly. And then his first year with New England was sort of down. It wasn't what people expected, but he was getting used to the system. And then the last 2 years hold up as well as any cornerback since Revis, basically. I mean, he's ridiculous.
Yeah, last 2 years, man, Stephon Gilmore has been great.
Yeah.
He's great.
All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk some safeties.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Okay, so your safety list, BMAC.
This is a tough
list to do, but it's kind of crazy how good the safeties around the NFL have gotten. Like, there's a bunch of really talented guys. Who is tough to leave off of your safety list?
Well, we look at my guys that I have on my top 10 compared to what we've done in the past. I mean, number one, let me talk about the criteria for my safety.
Yeah. Sorry. Good point.
To make my list, you can't be a one trick pony, right? You got to be able to do multiple things well, and that will determine how high you are on my list. The versatility is something that I look for. And I know Coach LeBeau used to talk about that all the time. You know, being able to do more. The more you can do, the more we can use you, the more successful we can be as a team. So the criteria for me is being able to do a lot and not be a liability. Tackling is clearly a huge emphasis for me. And just being around the football. It doesn't necessarily mean you got to be a turnover machine. You got to have 10 interceptions or anything like that. But just being around the football is a plus for me. You got to be around the football. So I think that is a huge emphasis for me when you talk about the safeties and the expectations when I look, what I look for in a safety.
Okay. I like it. With that in mind, how hard was it to leave Minkah Fitzpatrick off your list? Just kidding. We'll get to Minkah's ranked pretty high. We'll get to him in a second. Eddie Jackson, Anthony Harris, Earl Thomas, Kevin Byard, and Harrison Smith, were your top bottom five guys on the list. Eddie Jackson actually didn't make Patrick Walker. We're not trying to bash Patrick Walker here or call into question his list. But Bears fans lit him up like a Christmas tree after he left Eddie Jackson off the list. A pretty inexplicable admission, actually.
Yeah. And for me, Eddie Jackson didn't have the year that, you know, I think he was expecting, but I have Eddie Jackson on my list based on his overall body of work and the expectations for him this season. In 3 years, 10 interceptions, 2018 had a huge year. He was always around the football, but I really love Eddie Jackson coming into this season because their defense, they will be healthy. I think the offense will help their defense out because last year, offense was so inconsistent. The defense was always in a very, very difficult position. They were in a difficult position. And on paper, from top to bottom on all three levels, the Chicago Bears on paper can have one of the best defenses in National Football League, a top three or top five defense easily, especially if they stay healthy, along with the pass rush and, you know, the athletes they have on the first two levels. And I think that all will play a part in the success that Eddie Jackson will have. And especially if he stays healthy, man, he's a ball hawking guy.
Yeah. He can make some plays for sure. Kevin Byard. I love the Kevin Byard story because Deion Sanders didn't know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that when Deion, like, yeah. He's like, you stay a fan, I'll stay being the man. He's like, sir, I'm an all pro safety and you cover the NFL for a living. Shouldn't you know who I am? Like that, but, and I'm not trying to dog Deion here, but like that perfectly explains Kevin Byard, because I think the average fan would not know how well he has played over the last few years, even if he maybe had a down season in 2019.
Yo, Kevin Byard, and when I look at the safeties, when it comes to just attacking the football, Kevin Byard probably is the best attacking safety in the league, attacking the football. I mean, numbers don't lie, man. The last 3 years, 17 interceptions. 17 interceptions. Kevin Byard plays safety. The last 3 years, 33 PBUs. He's gotten his hand on the football 33 times over the last 3 years. So people have been sleeping on him for such a long time. And I think it has a lot to do with the market. And Tennessee has been relevant. I mean, they're not like a bottom dweller team in the NFL, but people have just been sleeping on the Tennessee Titans, some of their elite players. But Kevin Byard, man, yes. I mean,
like a good example, like Jarrell Casey, who's now with Denver, got traded, but like he's been a great player for years and nobody really paid attention to him because he's in Tennessee. Adoree Jackson is a lot better than people think. But you know, doesn't get the love because he's in Tennessee. I just think if you're a defensive player for the only guy that people know from the Titans is Derrick Henry.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And remember, it took some time for the people to really respect his name.
Sure. Earl Thomas. Did he flash some of what you, speaking of Derrick Henry, the guy got destroyed by Derrick Henry destroyed him in the playoffs. Earl Thomas, I thought was pretty darn good for the Ravens last year. They seem to have a knack for resuscitating careers over there.
No question. The thing I like about Earl is his structure, the situation. Remember I talked about that structure that was associated with Gilmore in the New England Patriots. The same could be said for Earl Thomas. Now remember, last year we saw Earl Thomas, but the last time we saw Earl Thomas before being in a Baltimore Raven uniform, he was getting caught off the football field, right?
Yeah.
Now Earl he's a bit older than some of the guys that's on my list, but I think what we saw last year was a flash of what he can do this season. I think he had around two interceptions or something like that. But just his ability to command center field, he's the ultimate traffic cop. You know what I mean? He's the guy that can conduct traffic and make sure people go where they're supposed to go. And he's the right guy you want to have as the last line of defense for me. So I have Earl on my list based on some of the things he did last year, but also the expectations. I mean, Baltimore, the Ravens, they got two top tier corners, right?
They got three dudes that made your two lists here. I mean,
yes.
Their defense needs to be good.
You got three dudes that made my list in the secondary alone. You added Calais Campbell, right?
Yep.
You added Derek Wolfe. Brandon Williams is one of the best sleep on nose tackles in the game, in my opinion, right? You get Patrick Queen in the draft. I think eventually he's going to really show up and show out. And I really love Chuck Clark at the strong safety. I think Earl Thomas and Chuck Clark will be able to coexist nicely in the secondary. So all those factors for me, all those key nuggets, that had to be a reason why I had to have Earl in my top 10 as well.
Sounds like you're unfortunately sort of talking yourself into the Ravens being really good this year again.
I mean, when you got Lamar Jackson, you can just drop the mic after just mentioning his name, right?
I mean, they're loaded, man. When I say it sucks, I mean, for a Steelers guy. Top five guys, Justin Simmons, franchise tag, out in Denver, Jamal Adams, Derwin James, Minka Fitzpatrick, and Tyrann Mathieu. Simmons, another guy I think sort of falls in the Kevin Byard, category in terms of people sleeping on him.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, no question. He's another guy that's underappreciated, in my opinion. I think he was a third or fourth round selection a few years ago from Boston College. But he's a baller. You can't really argue what you prefer him to do, be in coverage or be around the box. He does both things well. And just his ability, if you want to watch a safety that's so ball aware, when I mean ball aware, what I mean when I say that, listeners, he knows exactly when the ball is en route to his cover guy. And he puts his hands up at the right time. And he's always around the football. Over 200 pounds, 6'2 guy, 6'2 guy. And looking at some of his numbers, I mean, 4 years, he has 11 interceptions. He had 4 last year. The year before that, he had 3. He had 15 PBUs. But the last 2 years, he had over 90 tackles, total tackles. I mean, he's a football player. He's a natural football player. And I can tell you this much. That defense, Will, I know you play fantasy football.
Oh, yeah.
You're not as good as me, but you try. But, like, hey, that Denver Broncos defense might be a real low-key, sneaky fantasy defense to have.
I agree with you. I would say the only reason why you don't want the Denver Broncos in fantasy?
Kansas City.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, basically. Yeah. But, you know, they've done a pretty good job slowing him down. And, like, Vic, you know, the other thing, too, just on Denver really quickly, and we talked about this in our Broncos podcast, but, like, you know, I think they got a lot better as the year went on, and that was after they lost Bradley Chubb to an ACL, but it seemed like it took Vic Fangio a while to adjust to calling plays from the sideline versus calling it from the booth.
Yeah, it took some time for Vic to understand the personnel, and it took some time for the personnel to understand Vic. And I think that defense played, like, their last 6 ball games, they played real good football. And a lot of that had to do with Von Miller. Last 6 ball games, I think Von Miller had 4 sacks and had 6 game stretch. So healthy Chubb with Von Miller, especially motivated. Yeah. I think that defense, along with Jarrell Casey, don't forget about Jarrell Casey. He's been added to
that. That's right. As well. Yeah, they're loaded. All right, so these last 4 guys are really interesting. How closely clumped are they? So it's Jamal Adams, Derwin James, Minkah Fitzpatrick II, and Tyrann Mathieu. They're all very, I think Derwin and Minkah obviously drafted in the same draft. Very just incredibly versatile guys who can play all over the place. Honey Badger, as we all know, can play everywhere. And then, how do you sort of slot those? Like, are they very close to each other? Are they interchangeable?
Yeah, they're all dynamic, you know, great football players. Now, I have Jamal Adams 4th because they don't utilize Jamal like some of the other teams.
He's just sort of a box safety.
Yeah. Now, Jamal he's great in coverage. I love his ball skills. He plays with good sound eyes, his hips, his feet, always on point. But they just put him in the box all the time.
Yeah.
Like, the year that Derwin, his rookie year, the way how they played Derwin, they were in the nickel. He played both safety spots.
Linebacker.
He was out. He was everywhere. Yeah. That's don't box these elite.
That's how he was in his freshman year at FSU too. Like, he was everywhere, and then he got hurt, and then he slipped in the draft for whatever reason. Like, that dude can play. You could line Derwin James up as a defensive end, and he would have like 10 sacks.
He lined up as an outside rusher at Florida State as well.
Ridiculous.
And gave that tackle hell. You know what I mean? So for me, that is the issue that I have. And it's not about the individual. It's about how the team utilizes the player.
So you think in a hypothetical situation where Jamal Adams is traded to the Chargers and takes Derwin James's place, you think that they would utilize him more like they use Derwin?
Yeah. Okay. They could be pretty much the same. They're almost basically like the same guy, the way how they play.
Do you think that plays into his frustration too about, he's like, listen, I'm not getting paid and people are yelling about me being a box safety, but that's on y'all. That's not on me. You think that factors in?
Maybe because it's almost like, you know, if you can put this as a basketball example, you got a guy like LeBron who can move around and play everyone on the court, but you only making him play at the top of the key.
Yeah. Or like you only have LeBron James post up.
Yeah.
Like you don't let him handle the ball or anything.
But sometimes let him handle the ball. Let him be able to take you off the dribble. You know, let him be able to orchestrate the entire offense. That Jamal can line up anywhere on the football field, post safety, box safety, slot. And he gives them great production. But just for me, the 3 guys that I have above Jamal, I'm not saying they're just a better individual, but they have a better structure that can allow them to showcase more than just being in one particular area on the football field at any given time.
By the way, Jamal Adams, of all these guys, he's like, because Honey Badger, like Derwin James is a little bit lankier, like he's a little bit taller and lankier maybe than you might think. Jamal Adams is thick as a brick. Like that dude tackling you feels like it would be the most pain. Like of all these guys on this list, I think Jamal Adams is the least one I would want to tackle, the last one I would want to tackle me.
Yeah. I mean, they're both stock, all of these guys except the Honey Badger, they're stocky, big safeties, rangy safeties. They all ran extremely well at the combine, right? I mean, Honey Badger probably had posted the slowest time out of these three guys, but Jamal, Derwin, Nika, big safeties that can run, that are athletic. So why not utilize these guys more in space? Well, utilize Jamal more in space than just having him around the football. Now, he's dynamic at that element, too. He's the best blitzing safety in the National Football League.
How about when he stole that ball from Daniel Jones? I mean, he just took it and went to the house.
But
was Daniel Jones, right?
People talk about how he stole the ball from Daniel Jones. Look at what he did to Saquon Barkley.
Just bodied
him. He ran down his throat.
Yeah.
And he basically told Saquon, I'm not giving you a move. I'm coming right down your chest.
And Saquon is a massive human being.
Massive. Jamal is the best blitzing safety in the game. Just hands down. But
so suffice to say, you think the Jets should pay him, right?
Yeah, you know, question.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. I just make sure.
Who's the best player on the Jets?
Jamal Adams.
Right. Okay.
He's the only good player who's eligible for an extension on the Jets, and really the only good player on the Jets who's been eligible for an extension in the last 5 years. Just give him some money. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
All right, Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think that they are linked kind of forever, just because of, you know, the Dolphins took Minkah 11th overall in the draft, and obviously traded the Steelers last year, and then Derwin went 17th to the Chargers in the 2018 NFL draft. Very similar players. I like Derwin more coming out of college personally, but Minkah, I mean, look, it's hard to argue with what Minkah has done. And, I think, you know, you have him, Minkah at 2 and Derwin at 3. Is that because Minkah's on the Steelers or because he had a better season last year?
Well, he had a better season last year.
Derwin hurt, obviously.
Yeah, with Derwin hurt, granted. But I think Minkah will be a part of a better defense as well.
Oh, you think the Steelers would be better than the Chargers?
Man, yes, goodness.
Really?
Where are you going to go? You got Bud Dupree, who finally found the light switch last year, and I think he's going to find it again because it's a contract year on one side. T.J. Watt, who was a grown man last year. Stephon Tuitt, healthy. He's a deep freezer that can't be moved out of the kitchen. Cam Hayward. Then you look at the linebackers, Bush, Vince Williams. I mean, you have first round after first round almost.
Hey, no Joe Hayden on your quarterback list.
I didn't have Joe Hayden. It was hard for me. I didn't know. It was hard for me to get him on there. And there's another guy that it was hard for me to leave off. But I love Joe Hayden.
Can the Steelers be the best defense in football this year?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Have you enjoyed all the players on the Pittsburgh Steelers attacking our guys who made these lists? And are they attacking? Do you think it was the Minkah? Is this BMAC amplifying it into Steelers Nation and then like Steelers? Like, because Cam Hayward blasted Ryan for having him 7th on the interior defensive lineman list.
Yeah, the thing is about, you know, some of those key guys that you're mentioning, they feel the disrespect because how well they played last year.
Yeah.
They carried the team. They literally carried the team, especially without Big Ben. And I think they will have another top flight year once again. But defensively, it has to be their strong suit, I think, based on the individual talent they have. The individual talent they have, I mean, like, you can't name, they run a 3-4. Mind you, they were like one of the top teams, I think, in sacks last year defensively. But individually, T.J. Watt is one of the best individual pass rushers in the game. Stand-up rushers. You know what I mean? Of course, you can, you know, Von Miller and some of the other guys, but T.J. Watt, he's starting to become a grown man. Dupree has always had the athleticism. He just wasn't able to put everything together. Cam Hayward, I mean, he just keeps chopping wood. He keeps chopping wood. Devin Bush, I love Devin Bush.
Yeah. Bush started to play well last year. Down the stretch, you could tell it was clicking for him and he could have a big season.
And a big time under the radar signing for the Steelers was Steven Nelson. He played real good football opposite of Joe Hayden.
All right. And then, number one, the Honey Badger. I think that it took a little bit. It took like half the season for that defense to really adjust to Steve Spagnuolo and what he wanted to do with them. And Spags had to really shift some stuff around and kind of play with different personnel and everything. But when they got like the final six games of the season, the Chiefs were a top 10 defense, and it really starts and ends with Honey Badger, right?
Yeah, Honey Badger and Chris Jones, in my opinion. I think for me, I have Honey Badger number one on my list because he has the numbers to back up the argument to be the number one guy, but also the different roles, the different positions he can play. You know, we started to see the Honey Badger that we saw in what, 2015? Was it 2015? I think in Arizona, he had that huge year, big year. Was it 2015 like that? And then, of course, we know what he did at LSU, but that's what we're starting to see with the Honey Badger right now. I mean, last year, they utilized him ideally. He was, you know, putting pressure on quarterbacks. He was creating turnovers. I mean, he was getting his hands on football balls. He was tackling well. And you can tell he kind of changed the dynamics of what they did in the secondary.
Yeah.
It took some time for him to kind of establish that role, but when he did, they took off.
Yeah. All right. I can't argue with this list. I think it's a really good, production. If you had to pick, who would be the safety on this list? I should have asked you this on the, I think the answer is probably Jalen Ramsey for the cornerbacks, but if you had to pick somebody from this list who could dethrone Tyrann Mathieu for the top, safety spot, who would it be?
Derwin James.
I agree with that. I think if he progresses the way in year three, the way we thought he probably would in year two. I mean, like, you look at those stats, and even he sort of did it down the stretch last year, but like, his stats, I mean, three picks, 13 passes defense, 3.5 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, 6 QB hits. I mean, it's just 105 total tackles.
How many games?
That was his rookie season. I'm just saying, like, the production across the board is just wild how he does it. All right, follow up. Bryant at BMAC under, is it BMAC underscore sports talk? Is that it?
Yes, sir. Yes,
all right.
Sir.
Follow him on Twitter there. Watch him on CBS Sports HQ. And, we'll be back tomorrow to talk linebackers. BMAC, always a pleasure, buddy.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.